Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
And everyone said, Amen. 2 weeks ago, I did a message on building bridges and not moats. I don't know if we have that picture that I used 2 weeks ago. That's not a moat, but use your imagination. And in that message, I talked about the fact that we're going to be launching life groups in this church, which are small groups. I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But in this picture, you see a castle, you see water around it, which is a moat, and you see a bridge. And my point a couple of weeks ago was, there's an old axiom, an old adage. It says, you know, that the man is king of his castle. I haven't kind of found that so much. It's kind of like a king and a queen, or maybe a queen and a king. But nonetheless, it communicates something. That in my home, I'm in charge. Does that make sense? It's kind of the way the world works. In my home, I'm in charge. If I'm working at Monsanto, if I'm working at Boeing, if I'm working at McDonald's or Target, well, not Target, another store. Sorry. I listen to the boss there. When the boss tells me something, I listen to that person. Because it's your boss, it's your supervisor. But in your home, if you're a reasonable adult, like myself, I get to determine what happens in my home. Yeah. Because it's my home. It's my wife's home. We determine the culture. We set the thermostat for what happens in the home. And I get to determine in my home who comes in and who goes out. Who has access to my home? Who has access to my private life and my private world? And in America, I've lived in four different times. And Texas counts five. That's exactly right. Thank you. Stand corrected. Sorry, Dad. And you see different cultures and how different cultures operate. And it's not a matter of right or wrong. If you live and you've only lived in one culture, it's really easy to think all the others are wrong because this is my culture. I'm right. If I thought I was wrong, I would change, but I'm right. So I'm going to stick with my culture. And one of the things that we highlight so much in America, and it's great, is freedom and independence. And I know growing up, my kids had this. One of my kids said it just once, I think. You're not the boss of me. I sought to influence him. You're not the boss of me. But as an adult, I can carry that same attitude as an adult. You're not the boss of me. I'm an American. And I am blessed. We are blessed to live in the United States. Absolutely blessed. Just travel a bit outside of the country and you will understand. We are blessed. But with the castle, my question is not, is Tom or Randy's castle? My home is the Lord's. And he's the king of my castle. And he's the one that determines the values, the DNA, what's priority in our castle that Randy and I share. And moats were created to create distance between them and us so that no one could easily swim across and attack the castle because there's walls and boundaries. And just as I was reading, and this is what I said 2 weeks ago, it said moats, which is the water, moats keep one side from another, and the only way to span the expanse is to walk across a drawbridge, which is controlled by those running the castle. So with a drawbridge, I get to determine who comes in my house and who doesn't. And you may be a little bit like me. You may be totally opposite and totally healthy. But you may be a little bit like me. I am a fairly private person. My wife would probably tell you that. I'm a fairly private person, but I also love people. I genuinely love people. Well, all right. I genuinely love most people. The rest I just like. But what I found is, as a Christian, as a believer, his kingdom trumps my personality. His values trump my values. His ways should trump my ways. And so when I read the scripture, it challenges me. And I read it, I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's like the mirror to my soul. I hold up the word. It's like, oh Lord, how am I doing on your scorecard? Not on my scorecard. I love my physics teacher in high school, Coach Pugh. He's a football coach. And he allowed us to grade our own papers. I loved that class. And after a couple of tests, I figured I didn't have to study at all. Because I would just fill in the blank as I went along. I got a great grade in physics. It didn't prepare me so much for the rest of science, but that's okay. And sometimes I can carry that same deception and think in life, I get to grade my own scorecard. How do I think I'm doing? As opposed to what the Word says or what the Holy Spirit says. We don't get to grade our own sports cards. The Bible says there is a day when I stand before Him. The day, big D, in Corinthians. We'll all stand before Him. Not whether we go to heaven or hell, but receiving reward. Some wood, hay, and stubble. Some gold, silver, and precious stone. There is a day where the Lord will look at my life and say, Tom, son, how did you do? And that's not supposed to be a scary thing. It's supposed to be a sobering thing. Because I want to live my life according to His word and His ways. Not my personality, not my wants. And that's a challenge. Because when I look at things like that, I think, Lord, for me it was such a picture of opening my life up to other people. Or am I closed off because I've been hurt? Or I'm independent? Or I have whatever I have, my issues. And Jesus wants, like Mark and John Block going to Nigeria, Jesus wants to export what's in here to people all around me in my neighborhoods, not just Nigeria, not just Illinois, not just Michigan, not just England or Mexico or Canada, but Lord, right on my street, 304 Countryshire Drive, He wants the gospel to open up into my neighborhood. Is my drawbridge up towards people or is my drawbridge down towards people? Am I allowing access that the gospel can be exported in a real and tangible way? Life groups. Life groups. As a church, in the next 2 to 4 weeks, we're going to start life groups. We're going to launch them into this church community. And what that will look like is small groups of people, not small people, but small groups of people, any size person, really. As a church, in the next 2 to 4 weeks, we're going to have small groups of 12 to 16 people in a home in your neighborhood. And they'll meet a couple of times a month, and we will see how they go and how many groups we will need. We've already been talking to some folks about hosting and leading a life group. But our goal is that life would happen there. Life would happen in our homes. Why small groups? Why would we do that? Why? Because we're interested in building bridges, not isolation. And for us, and we would all understand this, we would all, well, 99% of us, we'd all nod our heads. Jesus didn't come for a church that just met on Sundays. That was not His intention, to leave heaven and just come so that we can enjoy this on a Sunday. It's more than that, so much more than that. And one of the huge challenges in this culture is we are so busy. Anybody busy? You're not that busy. Okay, well, the life groups are for you. I was thinking with my wife and I, we have a son in Chicago together. And it's three little boys, like 11, 9, and 7. Don't correct. Yeah, it's about right. He's like, no, he's 12. Yeah. 11, 9, and 7. And our son, he works probably 50 hours a week. They homeschool their three boys, son and daughter-in-law. And it's that age where one boy is taking horseback riding lessons. Nine of them are doing baseball and soccer and piano. And it's just, they're crazy busy all the time. But one thing I so appreciate about this one child is they're both deeply vested in small groups in their church in Chicago. Deeply. And my son calls me every Friday morning about 7:30 on his way home from a small group, because I meet from 6 to 7:15. And he says, "Dad, I love my small groups," because he's in more than one. Such a benefit, and we're all so busy. But where's my value? Where's my priority? What am I spending my life on? Because I only get so much life. So for me, life groups are life-changing. I love them. I've been part of them since 1977. I love them. I'm a huge advocate of life groups. Some of the benefits to having life groups, a smaller grouping as opposed to a Sunday morning, what are some of the benefits? Meaningful interaction. I don't know if we have this on the screen. There it is. Some of the benefits. 4, meaningful interaction. Meaningful relationships. Meaningful connections and personal growth. Something that I can do on a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night, a Thursday night, a Friday night that I can't do so much here. Because maybe you're like me. Maybe you came early and you grabbed a donut or two. I'm not looking at you, sir. I have a friend over there who likes donuts. And you say, "How are you? You doing good? The weather, did you get any storm damage? The car knows they're going to stink this year? Yes, they're going to stink this year. Are the Blues going to make it? I doubt it." And that's just guy talk. Well, some guy talk. And the ladies, I don't know what you talk about. I really don't. I'm still trying to figure that out at home. But for me, meaningful interactions where I'm actually listening to you and I'm asking follow-up questions and I'm hearing about your life. It's hard to do that when you have 175, 200 people wandering around and I see Mark. I want to talk to Mark. I want to connect to Lauren. Lauren, you were wearing a black sweater, a coat earlier. And I think, there she is. I'm so excited to see her. And I look over and there's Randy. I'm like, oh, did I forget something? I have to run back to the car and get something. There's Andy. I hope it's great. And I don't know if you're like me, but if you get it early enough, you see people that you want to interact with, but you don't have what I would call meaningful conversations, meaningful interactions. We actually find out how you're really doing. Small groups lean that way. They move that way. Life groups, small groups. It's not just another Sunday morning meeting. For me, when I come on a Sunday, I sing beautifully. Last Sunday, I don't know who was behind me. I think it was Landon. I'm not going to mention his name. I sounded so good when Landon was singing. I was amazing. Then I went home. There's some things that you can't do in a small group, you can't do at home, that we get here. There's a benefit to this. But there's as equal benefit to meeting people in their homes, individually, groups of 4, groups of 6, groups of 16. There's a huge benefit. I get to actually know you, what's going on. And there's a little phrase that I like to use. People who know what makes me tick and what ticks me off. It's real relationships, friends. And for me, I get it, I'm probably biased. I'm heavily biased this way. Since I was 5 years old, I've had best friends. And I mean best friends that you're in contact with 50, 55 years later. Always had them. And that was as an unbeliever. Tons of friends. And I know that's a super sensitive sore spot for so many people. There's so many lonely people wandering around thinking, do you see me? Does anybody see me? And it's a heart cry. It's a longing on the inside that heaven never intended for you to experience loneliness and isolation. Sometimes we run towards that ourselves, isolation and dark places, not like a cave. I don't mean sin, but a dark cave. Because sometimes we feel like isolation is a little safer. Can I just encourage you? Nothing could be further than truth for humanity, not just believers. We're made for relationships. We're made for connection. It's what God has for us. So key components of life groups, key components. 1 is discussion and interaction. This is one of the challenges on Sunday. On Sunday, you probably don't have a lot of interaction, and I don't want you to right now. But in a life group, in a small group, here's the type of questions I want to know. What is the Lord saying to us? Not just me. I know what the Lord's saying to me. I want to know, what is the Lord saying to us? And what am I hearing him say to us? And the more important question is, and what is my response to what he's saying? We can do that in small groups. We can ask individuals, what are you hearing? What are you feeling? What are you sensing? And some of it is pain, and some of it's neutral, and some of it's great. But we get to experience people's lives where it is give and take. It's not just someone speaking to you, whether it's motivational, whatever. There's like podcasts. There's nothing wrong with being spoken to or listening to someone speaking. But there's a dynamic that we're missing in life that's not interactive. It's God intended. He is interactive with us. And it's one of the funny things about prayer life that as a Christian, hopefully growing, how much of my prayer life am I actually quiet? Or am I talking incessantly during my prayer time? Because if I believe God is God, he actually has an opinion. He actually has something to say. And sometimes I'm just wondering if he's waiting for me to be quiet. Because he wants to communicate to me. I wonder what my relationships are like. Am I more interested in telling people what's going on in my life, or more, am I more interested in listening and loving somebody? Key components of small groups: discussion and interaction, prayer, relationship building, encouragement and strengthening, and food. You know, I met a number of times at Guy and Dana's house. I see Dana's not here. She's probably doing some cool things this morning. But there's Noah, you might find a little short video. Some of the interactions at Guy and Dana's house, they just have food. We went over to the house, they cook. And what I love about Guy and Dana, you don't necessarily know what's going to happen when we're having food at their house. Noah, could you show us the last time I was there? That's Guy and Dana's house. Life groups, you have no idea what's going to happen, but there's going to be food. It may be thrown at you, in you, on you, I don't know. But it's so funny, when I read the scriptures, one of the mainstays with Jesus, it seemed like he was always eating. I was just reading in Luke this morning, and the Pharisees came to him and said, hey, John the Baptist's disciples were fasting all the time. Your guys are eating all the time. And Jesus didn't say, oh, no. Jesus said, you're right. We are eating all the time. He said, when the bridegroom is with you, we celebrate. They will fast later. But right now, with Jesus, we're eating together. Why small groups? Acts 2, I can just use a beginning and end of Acts 2 as a bit of a context for why life groups? Why would we have a value? Why do we want to move towards life groups? And Acts 2, verse 1 through 6, the Word of God says this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? And then Peter got up and preached an amazing, amazing gospel presentation. Verse 41, chapter 2. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. And so the church began, and they began meeting on Sundays. And they didn't see each other after that, except for Sundays. And they started small groups. They had potluck meals. You know, kids' ministry started. They dismissed them halfway. The same thing we do. That's not what happened. The very next verse. What happened when people got born again? What happened when people gave their hearts to Jesus and became Jesus' followers? What happened? This is how the church was birthed. This is its infancy. Verse 42 to 47 of Acts 2. And just listen to the verbiage. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone, not just the leaders, not just the Green Beret Christians, not just the Navy SEAL Christians, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers, how many? All of them were together and had everything in common. This so challenges me in my mentality, Western culture, and my stuff. I wish I had your stuff, but I have my stuff. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Honestly, just what do you think that actually meant? What do you think it meant? What do you think it looked like? Everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. What kind of weirdos are they? Their lives have been transformed by Jesus, and they started living in community different than what they were experiencing previously in Judaism. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need every day. I wonder what that means in the Greek. I'm sure it's something funny, special, different. But in the English translation, every day. How many? Every day. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. Why life groups? Because life is meant to be outside of a Sunday morning for American Christians, for Christians in the world. It has meaning. It has context biblically. It has purpose. Every day. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Thank you, Jesus. With glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. To me, this is real Christianity. Real following Jesus. Real community. I find it fun, you know, when I talk to some of the younger generation. And one of their buzzwords for a while, probably still is we want to experience authenticity. Anybody ever hear a younger person say that? No, it's because you're not listening to them. But they say it a lot. Authenticity, what is it? It's real. It has a reality to it. It looks like something. It feels like something. And I love that. They're just going to talk about it. They want to live it. Real community. It can be so challenging. Because it's so, my time, if you're different than me, thank God. You're wonderful. You're amazing. But it seems my time is so limited. And my kids are all grown now. And I still feel like my time is so limited. Meeting with people, it's costly. It's another night. It's another time. But for me, it's investing my life into people. It's not what I can get. That's always going to happen. But what can I give? Who can I encourage? Who can I invest into? It's challenging. And some maybe you're like me, you're probably not. But when you interact with people, well, you're so blessed by them and so irritated by them. Because people in life show me the real me. I don't get to grade my own report card. And I find more interaction with people shows me the real me. It's like holds up a mirror in front of me. And I think, oh, you're so irritating. But I meet people and I think, Lord, what's wrong with them? What is wrong with them? And then I always find it coming back at me and think, Lord, what's wrong with me that I'm so judgy? Anybody ever think you're judgy? I got two hands up. I'm really good at it. I'm so judgy, so critical. I was talking to someone this morning about a different church, an amazing church, amazing, amazing church. And full transparency, I'll make this super short. For probably 10 years, I was part of a church on the St. Louis side. And I was on the staff there as one of the pastors. And there was a certain church, I'm not going to mention the name, it's Willow Creek. And this is like in the 80s and 90s. And we were so judgy because it was seeker sensitive. Anybody ever heard that phrase? And as a staff, we would never say it publicly, but we were so judgy behind the scenes. That seeker said, oh, anybody can gather 10,000 people if you're seeker sensitive. oh? I don't think so. And then years later, probably 15 years later, my wife and I had the privilege of moving to Chicago. And we weren't that close to Willow Creek. But we began to hear stories about how they were affecting and influencing their community. How they were generally loving widows, fixing cars for no cost, no charge to the widows. How they were ministering food into people's houses, ministering into small churches in downtown Chicago who had no resource. And Willow Creek, their leaders, just went out to find small churches who were struggling. How can we bless you with ministry, money, musicians? I was just shocked at the influence that Willow Creek had into Chicago. It's like, Lord, may I never throw another rock at another Christian, another church. Or how about even better, towards unbelievers that I disagree with. Save me from my attitudes. Small groups can have an impact on me. It shows me in reality, my interaction with people. I meet great people. I sit there across from Audrey Block and I think, Lord Jesus, I need to get saved. She's so sweet, so kind, so wonderful. She knows the Bible so much. Help me, Jesus. Small groups open my life up to other people where I have the opportunity to be transparent. I can put my poser face on just like Sunday. I look good. I have a brilliant smile. How am I doing? I'm fine. I smell good. I look good. My hair's great. Sunday morning, I'm wonderful. But about Tuesday night, Thursday night, I'm a little tired, a little irritated, and you might see the real me. Hair's down. Why life groups? Why small groups? 1 Corinthians 14:26 says this. What shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you, how many? Each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done. How much? Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Why life groups? Why small groups? Because you have something to impart. You have something to say. You have a gift inside of you. Sunday morning, we can't do it unless we want to do a weekend meeting. You're only going to hear from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. But the grace of God is inside you, and it needs out. It needs expression. Amen. Hebrews 10:25 and 24 says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, capital D, the day when we stand before Jesus. In the last scripture, Hebrews 12:12. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Oh my goodness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. What's the purpose of small groups? Transparency, connection, growth. As I see people, I'm like, Lord Jesus, help me to love people the way they love people. So GBH, great, but how? What do I do? Here's a first question some people might ask. To be part of Life Church now, do I have to join a life group? No. No, you don't. It's simply an option, an opportunity for you. No, you do not have to join a life group. They're only meant to be a blessing to you. Of course you don't have to join a life group. I would love you to consider it. As I concluded 2 weeks ago, I said, well, just consider with your busy schedule, your busy time, just consider the benefits of going to a life group. It's choice. Do you have to go to life group? Of course not. God gives us choice. I still find it funny in Genesis. Well, not funny. It's tragic, but beautiful. In the garden, God put 2 trees. Tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And he said, don't eat from that one, the knowledge, because when you do, you shall surely die. As a parent, who's going to do that with your kids? You got poison here for breakfast, or you can have chocolate chip pancakes, because that's what heaven has. And don't eat that because you may die, Junior. But really, do the pancakes. It's just not for you. How many kids, anything wet paint? Yep. They want to touch something, you tell them not to? Why would God do that? Why would the Lord put 2 trees in the garden? Choice. Will you listen to me? Will you obey me? But God gives us choice. And so often as Christians, we don't want to give people choice. You have to do this. And God gives us choice. Of course, you don't have to do anything. But there are some things in life that reap benefit. And interaction, communication, and relationship benefit. Questions. What nights? They'll be on several different nights. Whose house? You'll find out. Where do they live? You'll find out. How often will they meet? A couple times a month. Earlier, Tom, you mentioned food and snacks. I'll tell you who will serve the best food and snacks. You can let that be part of your choice. They'll start in 2 to 4 weeks. I'm going to have Andy, you want to come up in just a second and help us how we do this? Come on up this way anyway. And he's going to help us some administration here. How do we investigate? How do we join a life group? That's the question. How do we join a life group, Andy? What do we do?
Great question. So, we are doing something very exciting today, as well as telling you about life groups. A couple of months ago, you may remember, we put like a questionnaire out about communication. It's something that we've been thinking about for a little while, just as a staff team. And this morning, are announcing that we as a church, in terms of our communication, are moving to something called Planning Center. So Planning Center, I'm sure some of you will have heard of before. I know a lot of churches use it. Planning Center kind of works in two different ways. The first way is called Planning Center, and it's for volunteer scheduling, Planning Center services. Basically, if you serve anywhere in this church, whether that be in the worship team or production, kids, youth, like anywhere, you're going to start, if you haven't already, just getting some emails about scheduling and about different things. So if you're in the room and you're like, well, I don't serve anywhere, that's why you haven't got any emails yet. If you're here and you're like, I do serve somewhere, but I haven't had any emails, that's fine. Just go to your team leader, have a conversation with them, and you will do soon. So that's for scheduling for people who volunteer and serve somewhere in the church. The second part is the one that I really want to talk to you about this morning, very briefly, and that is called Church Center. So Church Center is a mobile app, or you can get it on your desktop as well. And you can do loads and loads of things with it. If you've been around here for a little while, you'll know about the Life Church app, which has a little Life Church logo on it. This Church Center app will be replacing that. So it's probably worth just deleting the Life Church app now, just so that you don't kind of forget and use it again in the future. But the Church Center app is for every single person who considers themselves part of the church, wants to be kept informed of what's going on. It's basically just a way of connecting with the calendar, with groups, with events, with all types of stuff. So as you can see upcoming events in the calendar. You can see and get reminders of your upcoming events and your serving schedule. So if you're serving, it will kind of ping you and tell you, hey, remember, you are on kids this week. I'm just looking at Roberta, who's nodding ahead. you can eventually, you can pre-check your children into Life Kids, which is something that Roberta will talk to parents more about in the future. But that's super useful for me. As we leave the house, we can check in our kids through the app before we even get to church. So it just makes everything much speedier when we get here. You can sign up for events. You can join different groups. So there are groups available right now to join. There's a Flourish group, and that'll just be a connection point for events that are happening. You can get reminders about those things. And there's two groups that I think are great, which is one is for Life Kids parents, and another one is for Life 129 parents. And that's just a way for me as a Life Kids parent to just connect with Roberta and to be reminded of different things that are happening and maybe get resources that are being given out by Roberta and by the Life Kids team. So that's something that you can have a look at and play around with. You can also manage yours and your family's profile. So what we've done is we've picked up everyone from and the old database that we were using and moved them over into Planning Center. So what you can do is, and we'll be out there after the service, you can also YouTube Planning Center, Church Center, and it's really, really helpful, gives you all the information you need. You can start playing around with managing your family's profile. So just putting you all in a household and updating all the information, dietary requirements, things you're allergic to, any of that stuff, which will be super useful. Again, I'm looking at Roberta, who's like, yep, that is also very very useful information to get. So what I'd love for you to do is right now, we've got another slide here, that QR code that's on the screen right now, if you zoom in and scan it, that will take you to the App Store or the Google Play Store and enable you to download that Church Center app right now. And I'm just going to give you a minute to do that. We will also, as I just mentioned, there'll be a couple of us just out in the lobby after the service with more of those QR codes. So if you can't do it right now or you just don't want to get your phone out right now, that's fine. But after the service, you can come and find me or one of a group of people out there and we can help. What that will do by scanning that code is it'll take you to the app and then it'll basically ask you to download and install the Church Center app. Then it'll just give you a bunch of prompts. So you want it to say, yes, use my location. And when you do that, probably the first church that's going to come up is Life Church St. Peter's because it's used your location to figure out that you are at the building. So you just hit that, follow all the prompts, sign up. It's going to ask you to give it your mobile number so it can send you a message with a code on it. You can then type the code in and there you go, you're in. And then you can start playing around and having fun. And like I said, we'll be in the lobby after the service, a couple of us. So if you've got any questions, if you're struggling a little bit, just come and talk to us and we'll be really, really happy to help. Yeah, great. So the reason why I told you all of that is because obviously Tom's been talking about life groups this morning. So the next slide, there's our life group slide. And then the one after that is a life group registration form. Now, it's really important that you sign up for the app before you fill in that form. So we're going to keep that up there. And again, there'll be pieces of paper out in the lobby with that QR code on as well. But that will take you to a life group registration form. So if you're interested in joining a life group, you can scan that. We're going to make it available on the website as well. So I'll update through Slack and give you some more information. But that's going to take you to a form which you can just fill in a whole bunch of information. You can add more comments. It's going to ask you a lot of questions, which will help Greg, Angie, and a couple of the guys who are leading the life groups. And basically, they'll be able to see that information, and then they will contact you. So you fill in that form, and then you can just go, cool, I've done that. I filled in the form. I'm just going to wait to be contacted. And then somebody will be in touch with you shortly with some more information about joining a life group.
What you'll need to do is download that first app. And then once you have the church app on there, you'll go to this life group in order to sign up for life groups. And there will be different nights that the life groups will be on, different areas and locations. It'll meet twice a month. And so I want to encourage you today, if you can, if you already downloaded the first QR code, download that, and then you'll be able to get to this QR code on there and sign up for life groups. If you're having problems with that, if you're technology challenged, like Tom, and it's like, oh my gosh, that seems so complicated, it really isn't. We'll be patient. It's okay. We'll help you. We'll walk through it with you. It's a simple process, but we're going to use that app going forward in particular, well, all groups, all the different groups, whether it's children's ministry, the worship team used Planning Center for years, and we switched to something else that shall not be named. A different app that is now not going to, will no longer be used, the previous app. So the primary app, the first app is the essential one. Start with that, download it, and you'll be able to see different things. And once you get on the first app, you'll be able to sign up and register for life groups. So there'll be different nights, different meeting areas, and you'll be able to see that. We will get in touch with you over the next couple of weeks once you fill that out. But if you're struggling with it, don't go, like me. Throw your phone to the side and call my daughter, who helps me with all technology things. Ask for some help. It's super simple, but it's at times, as soon as my daughter says, oh, Dad, this is super simple, I'm like, here, do it for me. It's never super, it's not that challenging. It's not that difficult. I already have it up on mine. Even I could do it. So we'll be patient with this and be great. There will be some people out in the lobby to help you with that. It'll be okay and great. And all I can say is, I would love for you to be part of a life group. My life has been changed by probably four different things primarily. One is the Word of God. Two, the Spirit of God. Three, being married to my wife. And I mean that because it's the best thing that's ever happened besides getting saved. I found out what I'm really like when I got married. And I needed to change. I'll just leave it at that. And the fourth thing is brothers and sisters speaking into my life, opening myself up and being transparent before people. That's what life groups afford us, is real connection, real relationships. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we long for many of the things that we read in the book of Acts and Acts chapter 2 primarily. Lord, we see you moving, people getting saved, people getting added. And Lord, it began to have real expression, tangible expression in the day-to-day lives of people. And the church grew because it was blessing, there was unity, there was connection, real life connection. Holy Spirit, show me where I might be able to make a little bit of room in my schedule. Show me, is this something that you want me to step into now to address things in me, to help other people, that I can invest my life in other people? Lord, I want to be used and useful in your hands. I want to love people better and more fully, encourage people and strengthen people. So, Father, show me where those windows are, Lord, that I might be able to connect with great people and express your kingdom in a real way. Bless us as we go, in Jesus' name. If you have the prayer team come up, if you are part of the prayer team, jump up now. If you have needs, whether it's relational, emotional, financial, let us know. We would love to pray with you. You can speak to members up here on the prayer team, and they can point you in the right direction. Be blessed. Have an amazing week. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.